blanks on the back. But if you don't have it, I've got a few extras here this morning. I don't have a whole lot, but I got a few. Okay, Brother Wayne's going to grab these. Thank you, sir. Hopefully I've got enough there. If not, it's real simple, and I can always print you some out afterward if you just maybe write down those words, and you'll know what they are. But there's really just 10 points on the back, kind of filling in the blank. And again, we're going through our Holy Habits study, and we're trying to just build every week on what we've done in previous weeks, and we're going somewhere with this. The next couple of lessons are going to be on soul winning, and then we're going to kind of finish up this series and then move on to something else. But anyway, we're at this serving God daily, and really the idea here is just the importance to serve God. And there's definitely a connection between our service to God and the local church. I mean, that's why the Lord established His church, because without the church, we don't have the, the church is where we get that I don't know how to explain it. It's where we get our commission. Matthew 28:19-20, it's where we're commissioned, and it's the organization through which God sends out His laborers. And so as we serve the Lord, we need to serve Him through the local church, and we need to serve Him daily. So the idea is we are the church, and so church doesn't end, you know, today at 3 o'clock or whenever the preacher gets done. We're always the church. And so wherever we go, we're to be the church. But we do meet for the purpose of growing, for being encouraged in the Lord, sometimes for being convicted. We meet for the purpose of growing to the place where when we go out into the world, we can be what the Lord wants us to be out there. You know, we have opportunities to reach lost people at church. At times, we have opportunities to reach lost people at organized outreach or events. But if you really look into the Scriptures, the idea that God communicates over and over and over is that we're always to be outreaching. We're always to be the church. We're always to be, in other words, and we'll see this really in the morning message. And the morning message is just on my heart. I think I just read through my notes, and I just feel like it's there. But you know, the world ought to hear from our lips often about our God, and it doesn't have to be in October we're going to start a grow outreach program here at the church where we just go. We go door to door, and we'll start with just once a month and do some canvassing of Gillette. But you don't just have to do that on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, you know, from 10 to 11. Well, after 11, we'll go to lunch and don't have to tell anybody about the Lord there, right? Because it's not our scheduled time. If we're not careful, we begin to think that way. We begin to sort of categorize sections of our life that we say this is when we're to be doing our God stuff, and this is our time. And that's really not how God ever meant it to be. And if you look in Acts 2, that's not how the church was. They were daily praising God house to house. Everywhere they moved, they were being the church. So the idea is that we would serve God daily, not disconnected from the local church, but as the local church, going out and accomplishing what God has for us. So we looked at Colossians 3. Let's look there. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Lord, I'm asking you for your help this morning, as I already have, but Lord, I just continue to ask that you would give me the words to say this morning, and Lord, just guide my thoughts and just help me to Lord, just to stay focused on what it is that you want us to discuss today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts. I pray you'd work in my heart as well through the messages and through your word. Lord, your word is what will change us today. And so I pray that we'd hear it clearly and that we'd allow it to land in the good soil. And Lord, that we'd be willing to fashion our lives according to it. And so, Father, I pray for your help. I pray for your blessing now in our Sunday school time. Also, Lord, we pray for those downstairs, the kiddos' classes that are going on. We just pray you'd bless their Sunday school as well and be with those teachers down there. And Lord, we just pray it'd be a good start to the day. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do. So, I don't feel like we have to get real deep on some of these things. That means whatever I'm doing, I'm to do it as unto the Lord. If there's an activity that I'm involved in that I can't do as unto the Lord, I probably shouldn't be involved in that activity. Does that make sense? So that phrase, this verse, I love this verse because it helps to sort of fine tune our walk with the Lord. But it also acknowledges. So what I mean is it's going to say, okay. So let me just give an illustration. You won't find me sitting up next to the bar drinking beers with my buddies. Isn't that a good thing? You won't find your pastor doing that. If you ever do, promptly fire me. Okay, it's just we're not supposed to do that. Now, why is that? Because I can't do that as unto the Lord, right? I can't raise a glass of mind altering substances and praise the Lord while I'm drinking. I can't do that. So by knowing this verse, whatsoever I do it heartily as unto the Lord, it eliminates a lot of things from my life. So it helps me, keeps me on track, but it also acknowledges that I'm not going to be reading my Bible 24 hours a day. No one's able to do that. I'm not. Now, maybe if you're memorizing scripture, you can keep it in your mind longer. That would be good. But I'm not going to be in church 24 hours a day. The Lord knows we're also living our lives. We got to work, right? We have families. We have interactions with people. There's even the Lord even tells us that we're to rest, and there are times for things like that. All those things that we do unto the Lord. Okay, so it's an acknowledgement of it keeps your life sort of. It tells you there's some things you can't do unto the Lord, so eliminate. But at the same time, I can do all the other things in life as unto the Lord. And what happens there is those things that were just normal things before, they become a testimony to the outside world when I do them as unto the Lord. Let me just give you an example. I've worked for a variety of bosses in my day, as you probably have too. And there's some that I really enjoyed working for because they were Christian and that kind of thing. There's others that let's just say they were not as easy to work for because they didn't necessarily agree. Or one guy I worked for actually was pretty in opposition to Christianity. But when you show up and you work that job as unto the Lord, so you serve that guy just like you would if it was the Lord. You're just like, I'm going to apply what the work ethic the Bible tells me to apply. I'm going to have the right type of testimony when I get, whatever. Whenever confrontation happens, I'm going to handle it God's way. I'm telling you, what you're doing without even opening your mouth is preaching to that person. So the idea in this verse is so good. We would serve God daily. Why do we do that? Well, because now I can be a witness, a testimony to somebody that normally I wouldn't be able to be a testimony to. I have another example. And by the way, I want you to know, I don't tell examples of myself to lift myself up. I promise you, for every good story I have, I probably have 10 bad ones, okay? That is just the truth. I don't try to do that. Just trying to give you examples. But there was we used to go, when we lived in Austin, the church was fairly close to this restaurant. Well, it was Jimmy John's, now I'm thinking about it. And so I don't know if that's a restaurant or what, sandwich place, whatever, but We got to where that was a quick and easy place to go get lunch. And I'll never forget, we walked in one day. I think it was the first or maybe second time that we came in there. Well, I looked about like this. I just come from church. I looked about like this. My family looked about like I did. I mean, everyone in that place, what do they know about us when we go to a restaurant on Sunday? They know we just came out of church. Did you know this? You can go ask waitresses, their least favorite crowd. Sunday afternoon church crowd. Isn't that sad? That's really sad. But you go and talk to a waitress. Now, I've heard these. I've never been a waitress. I haven't verified this, but I've heard this, that we're the worst tippers, that we often have the worst demeanor and attitude. I mean, that's bad, isn't it? Okay, so we're at this Jimmy John's, and I just remember that they were really having a hard time there. Have you ever been to a restaurant? You can just tell, like, someone didn't show up today, or they don't have something they need. Something's going on. They're just having a hard day. And it took a long time to get a couple sandwiches. And their motto is something about being so fast that you'll freak or flip out or something. You know, so we're standing there like, this isn't as fast as we were expecting. But I just remember thinking, these people are having a hard day. They know I just came from church, and really that shouldn't matter, but it's like, they know that, and so we're just going to be kind. I don't care if it takes an hour to get these sandwiches. We're just going to be kind, and we're going to be thankful, and we're going to be pleasant, and we're going to smile, and there's other people in the store that we're not, okay? So I didn't do anything. I just was just kind. That's it. Just kind. Went through the whole interaction. By the time we were done, I had an open door to give those people a track on my way out and say, hey, we're, you know, at this church, we're just a few minutes from here. I see you work Sunday, so maybe Sunday you can't come, but Wednesday night we have church, and give them a track. You see, if I don't act that way, I don't have that open door. Does that make sense? So whatsoever ye do, if you're going to eat a sandwich, eat the sandwich as unto the Lord, okay? Treat the staff as unto the Lord. I mean, That's the idea. So this the reason I love this verse is it helps us with like every part of our life. Okay, so last week we really got into these 10 things, and these 10 things are ways that we can serve, or rather reasons to serve the Lord through our local church. And this is out of an article, and so I used an article here in this lesson to build these 10 points. And so Kurt Skelly is the one who came up with this. But we went through the first, I think, four, and so we'll really quickly run these down, and then we'll get to the last few. But the first one was glorifying God by serving in the local church ministry is the purpose of your salvation. So we looked at that the Lord saved us to serve. We're not saved by our service. We're not saved by our good works, but we are saved to serve. So this idea that the Lord saved me, and now I can just sort of float through life until I get to heaven, I'm not saying you can't do that, because if you actually did get saved, well, you are saved. But I would say James would question whether you did get saved if you don't have any desire whatsoever to serve the Lord. That's not the intention. So God saved us to serve. It's part of the purpose. All right. Secondly, you have been uniquely gifted to serve. And we talked about how God has given everyone through the Spirit spiritual gifts, and how the church needs each and every one of those gifts, and they are very different. And so we find that people have different personalities, different gifts and talents, different levels of desire for certain things. Like some people would rather, set up the tables and chairs. Other people are like, man, I have no interest in setting up tables and chairs. Well, it has to do with how we're gifted. By the way, we're not excused. All of us probably better set up tables and chairs when the time comes. I'm just saying there's different gifts in the church. They're all needed. Okay, so God gifted us. Why? Well, to use the gifts. I mean, that's why he gifted us. Thirdly, ministry service will demonstrate the reality of my faith. And this really goes along with what I said earlier. James really gives us this, but also in Romans, and even Jesus spoke a lot about, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, well, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me. So how do we demonstrate, what is some of the evidence in my life that I am saved? Well, it's because I'm serving the Lord. Again, we're not going to get to heaven, and there's not going to be a thing that's like, well, let's see what he did, whether or not we allow him in here or not. Again, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's sort of the evidence, the demonstration of the reality of my faith. It's really hard when someone says, well, yes, I'm saved, but they have no desire to live for God. They have no fruit in their life of, you know, that maybe they're living a life of sin, and it's like, well, yeah, I'm saved. Well, I'm not saying you're not, but man, where's the evidence? You know, where's the part where God's starting to change you? Where's the ambition to serve the Lord? And so again, it'll demonstrate the reality of our faith. Fourthly, the laborers are few. Jesus' only prayer request in the Bible is to pray for laborers, because he said the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. The He looked at the world and he looked into a crowd of people. And by the way, they were just as sinful then as they are today. He looked into that crowd of people and he said, man, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They need the gospel. And then he spoke about the laborers are few. All right. So let's look at number five. This is our new, we'll start at five. And I think we can get through these today. Here we go. Others tend to emulate what they see, not what they hear. Okay, this is true. If you're a parent, you know this. You can teach your kids a lot of stuff, but they won't listen to your words unless they see it in your life. Okay? It's the same way in a church. Folks, I think we would agree that we want Central Baptist Church to outlive us. Okay, if the Lord tarries, and I don't know if he will or not, I feel like he's going to come back any moment. But if the Lord tarries and I'm allowed to live a life, live, die, and go on, I hope and I pray that we're building a church that will perpetuate as long as it takes till the Lord comes back, that this church will outlive us. Well, if we want the church to continue on, we have to teach the next generation to serve. We have to involve them in the ministry. And by the way, and we have to, those new believers, those new disciples, the best way to get them faithful in church is to get them serving in church. That's how we part of the discipleship process, and we'll see that in a point coming up. But we need to not just teach our kids to serve and not just teach new believers to serve, but we need to be modeling it. You know, it'd be kind of silly to someone just get saved and be like, hey, by the way, now you need to start doing this. And they look at you and you go, well, you're not doing that. Well, no, but you need to do it. You need to serve. If we're going to teach service, we need to emulate it. We need to be doing it. Again, I think this goes without saying, I really do. I don't think we have to labor this point. But they do say this, the ministry is more often caught than taught. People just just need it modeled for them. This is what it looks like. This is what we do as Christian people. We serve in the church. And so when newer believers see us serving, they're going to be more motivated to serve. And let me say this just as a pastor and a parent, I can say this, it matters how we serve, okay? If I say, well, kids, get ready. We got to go to church today. You see what I've just done? Am I still going to church? Okay, check that box. But what's my heart say to my kids? I don't want to go. Yesterday, I think it was, I'm going to tell on my daughter. Don't tell her, okay, but she was excited about something she wanted to do. And she said, we can do that tomorrow. And I said, no, tomorrow's church. She goes, aw. And I went, aw? What are you talking about? Church is, this is why we're here. This is our whole life. This is what we're supposed to do. Tomorrow's the best day ever. We're going to church. Why did I do that? I want her to think, not just to think, I want her to understand that we love church as a family. We love getting together with the saints of God, and we love getting into the Word of God, and we love what God has put together here. And if my labor for the Lord is a drudge, if it's the old anchor I'm pulling around and I'm complaining as I'm serving, I'm telling you right now, why would my kids ever want to serve? I know a lot of, again, I can say this, I believe, as a pastor, because I fear this with my kids. Ministry is difficult. It's difficult. So when you're in the ministry, you come across difficult situations. And since it's just us, can I say difficult people, right? You come across people that, your kids see everything, okay? I know a lot of pastors' kids who want nothing to do with the ministry because they've seen it. Like, why would I want that? We have to remind our kids, we don't serve, don't take this the wrong way, we don't serve for the people. Now we do, right? Jesus said we're to serve one another, wash feet, right? Love one another. But our motivation is, man, God's good. God's good and he blesses us. And by the way, he helps us with all those difficulties and those problems. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so modeling service the right way is even important. Keeping our chin up and keeping a smile on our face and keeping a song in our heart is important so that those little ones know, okay, yeah, no, the life following Jesus is difficult, but Jesus is always there for us. Okay, so others tend to emulate what they see, not what they hear. One reason to serve in the church. And I love when my kids get to see other people serving with a joyful heart in the church. It helps my kids. It encourages them. They know it's okay. It's not just mom and dad's idea. This is a real thing we're doing here. Other people are doing this and being blessed by this as well. And so again, we should think about that people are watching us. You say, well, I don't have kids. It's not just about kids. Somebody's watching. Someone's always watching and taking note. And people love to use us as an excuse for why they're not going to do something. They really do. They'll find you. Well, that guy doesn't do anything. This lady doesn't. I'll just do like that. Well, don't be that excuse for them, right? Because people are watching. All right, next, the commission is great. I mean, we should know that, but the commission is great. Number six, Jesus commissioned us to do what he demonstrated himself time and time again in his ministry. Jesus always saw people in their need. Okay, that's how he saw people. He saw them, he didn't really see them by their social status or their ethnic background or their gender or their race or their age. None of that really, I'm not saying it didn't matter to Jesus. I think everything mattered to Jesus, but he saw their spiritual need and he ministered to them because the commission is great. Kurt Skelly, in his article, he says, until we contextualize what we do, including the places we go and jobs we perform, and in the terms of the gospel, we are missing out on a big part of the reason we're here on this planet. Think about how Jesus ministered. I find it interesting that there's a few times you see this where the Lord would say, let's use the woman at the well, okay? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. And I'm sure all the disciples were like, why? We don't want to go through there. If you know the history, they didn't like each other. You know, Samaritans were kind of half Jew. I mean, they didn't like each other. And the Lord's like, well, we got to, you know, on our way to this place, I got to go through there. Why? Because he knew he had a meeting with the woman at the well. There's other stories like this. Zacchaeus. I mean, the Lord sought out Zacchaeus along the way. Blind Bartimaeus is another example. I have the man at the pool of Bethesda. All these people, Jesus just sort of happened upon. Now, do you believe that? No. He knew there's a man over here by this pool that's ready for the harvest. There's a man over here by this pool that will put his faith and trust in me. I got to go that way. And he went that way. You know what? We meet blind Bartimaeus. We meet the woman at the well. We meet the man by the pool of Bethesda. And they might have different names and different occupations and different problems. But the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Lord leads us where he leads us on purpose. We run into the people we run into on purpose. And so we need to take that serious and understand that as a Christian, that Great Commission is not just for the preaching hour from 11 to 12. When we leave this place and we're going along our way, we should, and this is hard for us to do. This is really hard. It's hard for me to do. I'm a pastor. It's hard for me. But when I go to Walmart, okay, that's hard for me to do in and of itself. I don't like going to Walmart. Some people, like after church, we've talked for a while and everyone's getting ready to leave. And it was just the other day. I think it was a Wednesday because it was dark outside. And someone said, well, we got to go to Walmart. And I mean, my heart sank for them. I was like, oh, my goodness. I'll stay here and pray for you while you go to Walmart because I just don't enjoy at all. Oh, goodness. When my wife says, well, we got to run to Walmart, I'm like, we? okay. And there's all these personal reasons why, and probably the same ones you have. But when I go to Walmart and I see all those people, I'm telling you, I don't see them all the time like Jesus saw them. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He had a stomach ache. He was moved with compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd. I mean, we see them, we're like, I can't believe that person is dressed that way. They're in a public place. I can't believe, this is the thing these days, but you walk past a group of teenage boys, and I hear more language. The 13 seconds that I'm passing them that I heard all week. And I'm like, oh. Because I know that's just a symptom of their lostness. But how do we see those people? To me, it's irritating and I want to get out of there. It's just us. But how would Jesus see them? As souls needing Savior. Okay? So again, this idea of this commission is great. It's every day we're to be involved in that great commission. When we go about our day, whether you know it or not, God has given us meetings. That may not happen every day that he's put a woman at the well in our way, but I'm telling you, we interact with a whole lot more people than we realize. And I think, and it's not just that every person you meet, like you're at the grocery store and you've got a cart of 1,000 items and the people behind you have a cart and the people behind you have a cart. Well, obviously you can't sit there for 30 minutes and take up the company's time and everyone's time trying to share the gospel, but you can be a light in those couple of minutes that you have. And you can leave a connection behind that they'll know how to find you when they get to that point that they know that they need you or whatever. That can be done. And so every day we just sprinkle in the gospel where we can. And sometimes you do find a person where you can actually spend time with them. But again, just think of all the people the Lord ministered to when they were, quote, in his path. What you'll realize is, I mean, he had a plan all the time. Okay, so the commission is great. Number 7, ministry involvement enhances our biblical understanding. Now you say, well, what's this all about? Turn to John 7. I'll show you. So there's... You know, to understand your Bible, you've got to read it. Amen? Okay. You got to study it. If you want to understand it, you got to study it. And so we could get lost in what it means to study the Bible. I've taken a lot of hermeneutics classes. Hermeneutics is just a big fancy word that I try not to use because it just makes you sound big and fancy. And I'm definitely not. It's just the science of biblical interpretation. And so when we study a passage, yes, we want to study it in the literal, grammatical, historical context. And we want to understand how to study the Word of God. But I'm telling you, and this goes along with what I preached on Sunday afternoons, being doers of the Word. I'm telling you, we can study the Bible all day long. If we never do it, we won't understand it properly. Okay? I'll give you a couple examples in a second. But look at John 7 and verse 17. If any man will do his will, you see that? If any man will do his will, he shall what? Know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So there's a portion of understanding the doctrine that can only be understood by the doing of God's will. The understanding of the Bible also involves a commitment to obey it. I'll say it like this. As we put the Word of God to practice in our lives, the Lord brings His purposes and His will into focus. We just had a missions conference. Brother Bigham preached about giving to missions. We can study what it means to give to missions through the Scriptures till the cows come home, as they say. You won't ever understand it till you obey it. That's just the truth. You won't ever understand. I was talking to a lady one time, this is a long, long time ago. She wouldn't even remember this conversation, so I can share it. None of you know her. She's not even from this state, and she's not from Texas. So nobody knows her, so I can say this. And she doesn't, I don't think, listen. But she came in, and she had all sorts of financial troubles. And looking at, you know, bankruptcy and everything else, just really financial troubles. But as I looked at the budget and I thought through like what her needs were, I thought, well, why are there, they shouldn't be. There's got to be more spending going on here than I'm seeing. Does that make sense? Because the math says this should work. And so she's coming, and by the way, this isn't a lesson on giving, Brother Bigham. He did good enough on that. And I'm just trying to illustrate something that you won't understand unless you do it. So she was looking at, like, I've got all these expenses and here's my income, and then I've got this debt, and I've got to figure out, because I'm sort of drowning, and I got to figure out what's going on. I'm looking at this, and she's wanting me, I guess she knew I had a finance degree or whatever. She's wanting me just to sort of figure it out as a financial advisor, you know? And my first question was, are you tithing? I don't see a tithe in here. Well, I mean, look, there's no way I can tithe. Look at all my expenses and look at this. There's no way I can tithe. I said, well, here's the problem. You don't get to choose whether or not you tithe. It's just what you're supposed to. So you're saying you got this much income, 100%. God knows that you only have 90% of that. Just one way to look at it. So are you tithe? Well, I can't tithe. I got to pay this and that. And I said, I just told her, I said, the reason you can't pay this or that, probably because you're not tithing. And she said, no, she didn't understand it. And I said, you're just going to have to trust what the scriptures say, that if we give of the first fruits of our increase to God, He fills up the rest. He fills up the we shovel out, He shovels in. There's no class I can teach that. But if you do it, you know. If you do it, you know God works on your behalf. I could give you many illustrations of this, because in the ministry, it seems like all your appliances always go out. I don't know why. The Lord's just testing your faith all the time. But I can tell you how things would happen in our life, and it's like, well, whew, how are we going to deal with that? And we have this choice. Well, I guess, you know, we could tithe. And by the way, I don't even, my dad taught me to tithe when I was very young. And so I don't have these questions anymore. I just do it. It's an automatic. Our tithe is automatic. But I'm just, listen, we could say, well, man, our tithe would cover that. You could say that. But I'm just telling you, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't. Why? Because I've learned. I've learned. I know the scriptures say it. We can study it. But I've learned. I have seen God give to us abundantly when there was no explanation of why or when it was coming from. I mean, we were struggling one time, and I mean, really struggling. I had a job flipping houses, and I only got paid when I sold a house, and it had been a few months. And we're kind of at the end of our money that we've got. And I mean, I remember having a conversation with Tiffany about the groceries for the next week. In church that day, pastor walked up and gave me a gift card to United Grocery. He said, someone gave me this and told me to give it to you. I can't tell you who did it. After I was done sobbing like a little child, crying, I said, praise the Lord. I couldn't even thank the person. They didn't know my situation. I wasn't, me and my wife were the only two that knew anything about anything. And God came through. Why did He do that? I don't know. Faithful to give. We've learned. We've just learned. And again, I don't say that to build myself up. I'm just saying you won't learn And by the way, let me say this. You should expect your pastor to give. That's okay. I mean, that's if I'm going to preach it, I got to live it. So I don't have a problem with that. Our giving records, by the way, I don't know what people give. I intentionally don't look. I don't really care to know. I don't know if it would affect the way I minister. I don't want to know if it would affect the way I minister. Do you understand? I just tell the guys, tell me how much total went to each account. That's all I need to know. So our giving records are not open business for anybody, but you should know that your pastor gives. You should know that. I could give you dozens of examples. I could give you examples even since we've lived here, how God has met a need. A check came to this mailbox for $1,000 a couple of months ago with my name on the top from a person I hadn't talked to in probably 8 years. God met a need. I sent them a note. I said, I don't know why in the world you thought of me. You know what the answer was? God made them think of me. I'm just telling you, God, you can't teach that. Does that make sense? That's this point. When we serve the Lord, and by the way, I'm just using giving because it's so tangible. I think I can illustrate it. But when we serve the Lord, He really does show us things that we would otherwise not know. Go read about the story when Jesus turned the water into wine. It's really interesting. Mary tells Jesus, hey, we're multiple days into this wedding. Hey, they don't have any more wine. And by the way, I don't believe it was alcoholic wine. I believe I can prove that. We're not going to get into that this morning. But they needed something to drink. All they had was water. Well, you all know, you need something better than water at a wedding. Coke Zeros, something like that. But fruit of the vine for sure would be good. And that's what they drank. Much of the time, it's Sunday school. Much of the time in the scriptures, the reason it was wine is because the extremely small amount of fermentation and alcohol content that was actually in their wine kept the wine from spoiling. It was a germ killer in their water, if that makes sense. But you would have to drink all day and all the next day to get drunk. You know, when Jesus, when Peter was speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, and they said, this guy's drunk with wine, listen to him. You know what he said? We're not drunk, seeing it's the morning. You remember reading that? We're not drunk, it's the morning. You know why I could say that? We haven't had time to drink enough of that stuff. There was so small alcohol content. Okay, now I got to move on. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it's interesting. I don't know how this went. Mary tells Jesus, hey, they don't have any wine. And Jesus says, what does that have to do with me? I mean, basically, go read it. What is that about that to me? And he says something I didn't look this up this morning, so I'm struggling. He says something about it's not my time yet or something like that. He's very young. But Mary knows something about Jesus that he could solve that problem, which tells me what had Jesus done in the household? I mean, I'm just wondering. Mary looks at, okay, so if we're at this wedding and we need a miracle, I don't look over at my kids and be like, hey, miracle time. Right? She knew something of Jesus to go and ask him, and he goes, this is not my time. What are you bothering me with it? But then she tells those people, you do whatever this young man says. And Jesus, obedient, submissive to his mother, takes care of this wine problem. It's an interesting story, and I don't even know how to sort it all out. It's something I think about sometimes, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords submitting to Mary and Joseph, just wrap your head around that. Try. But okay, here's my point. I can get lost in some of this. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So Mary says, do whatever he says. Okay, so these people are to do the will of Jesus. I have a verse written down. It says this, that the people at the wedding began to drink this wine, and they were like, man, you've saved the best for last. That's odd. Usually, put out the best first, but you saved the best for last. And it says that they knew not whence it was from. They knew not whence it was from. But notice what it says. If you want to look it up, it's John 2, verse 9. It says, but the servants which drew the water knew. Now that's good. The ones that did the will of Jesus, they knew who made the wine. They knew what the miracle that had just been performed. I mean, those drinking it at the wedding, they just said, man, this is good. This is better than, I mean, you put the best for last. But they didn't know where it came from. The one that knew where it came from were the ones that went and drew the water. Ministry involvement enhances biblical understanding. You want to know God? Serve Him. There's a, and I know we don't preach Chinese proverbs, but there is one that says this, tell me and I'll forget. That's me. Show me and I may remember. Involve me and I'll understand. I love watching sports. I really love watching those Monday morning recaps from the sportscasters. These days it's a little better because most of the sportscasters are like old, you know, they used to play guys. But it was at a time where there was people sitting in those chairs and they, you know, they couldn't hold a football. They sure couldn't throw one or catch one. They didn't want to get tackled. And they're telling you that, now this guy should have dove left or jumped right or they should have called this play. And you're sitting there going, listen, son, you don't have a clue. If you were in that game with a threat of 300-pound linebackers coming down on you, you would not be sitting there, now I'm going to do this and do that. But with your cup of coffee on Monday morning in your easy chair, yeah, you can certainly tell that guy what he should have done. I just think it's funny. Where you want to know what to do in a football game, you better put on a helmet and get in. So the whole point, it keeps going. Jesus says, if you love me, do. Keep my commandments. Again, you want to understanding, then you need to do. Let me just give you these last two. It wasn't my intention to, I got to finish this. Doing anonymous or little notice things for the Lord is like whispering, I love you, in his ear. You want to tell the Lord that you love him? Serve him. Keep his commandments. Let me give you an illustration. This morning, as it's still dark outside, a lot of times I'm up and out before my wife wakes up, but this morning she woke up and I was a little later out of the house than I normally am on Sundays, and so I was putting my tie on, fixing my hair. It takes a long time to get this look, okay? Just kidding. On the way out, she handed me a cup of coffee. You know what she just said? I love you, because you served me. When we do things, especially the things that nobody sees but for the Lord, it's in a quiet way telling him, I love you. Number 9, I will forge long-lasting and valuable friendships. I'd encourage you to read Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, Paul is, he's talking about all these people that he served alongside. They all became lifelong friends. I'll tell you this, the lifelong friends I have now are not the people that I just met and hung out with and had fun with. They're the people that I have blood, sweat, and tears with in the ministry. That's where you'll grow your long-lasting friendships. We think fellowship is, we bring a food, it's a potluck, right? We bring our food and we all sit around and eat. Study the word fellowship in the scriptures. Where are people really brought together? Well, Paul would say, my true yoke fellow, my fellow servant, my fellow soldier, my fellow, let's see if I wrote any others down, my fellow laborers for the cause of Christ. Where do we really have fellowship and connect with each other is when we're serving one another. Serving alongside one another. And that's just the truth. I've had a lot of friends in my day, but the ones that are still those lifelong friends are the ones I served with. And I think if you look back in your life, you'd probably say the same. Lastly, in Colossians 3 gives us this, we will stand before the Lord. Colossians 3, 23, again, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Apparently, God cares how we go eat a sandwich and how we go to work tomorrow. And all the things that we do, He's watching. And we will one day stand before the Lord. We'll stop there. I have gone really long. Thank you for your attention. I'm sorry for going so long, but I wanted to finish. We'll have about a 7-8 minute break, and then we'll have church. Lord, we are so thankful for all that you do in our lives. I'm thankful for those that are here this morning, and I'm thankful for your word. I pray that you'd bless our day. Give us a good day together. Be with those who are still coming in now. We just pray, God, that you'd work in our hearts the way you want to today, that we'd be open and receptive of everything you have for us. Well, thank you for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.